Good morning and welcome. I was reading an article this week where the author likened you and I to Humpty Dumpty. Not the most flattering comparison, perhaps, but his point was this. We are all broken, and try as we might, we cannot fix ourselves, put ourselves back together, nor can we fix the brokenness around us. But Jesus came to restore that which is broken. That's why the events of the first Easter weekend and beyond that we've been thinking about these past few Sundays, Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension, are such good news. For they hold the promise, as explained in the Creed we will say in just a moment. They guarantee forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. So as we begin, do join with me in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Apostle Paul writes about the Easter work of Jesus to the church family in Ephesus. He puts it this way. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. In Jesus we have redemption. Jesus is our Redeemer, and we are going to praise him as our Redeemer right now in the words of our first song this morning. I will glory in my Redeemer.
Glory in my Redeemer, whose priceless blood has ransomed me. Mine was the sin that drove the bitterness and hung him on that judgment tree. I glory in my Redeemer, who crushed the power of sin and glory in my Redeemer. My life he bought, my love he owns. I have no longings for another. I'm satisfied in him alone. I will glory in my Redeemer, his faithfulness standing place, though foes are mighty and rush upon me, my feet are firm held by his grace. My feet are firm held by his grace. I would I will glory in my Redeemer. His face forever to behold. Verse 1. I will glory in my Redeemer, whose priceless blood has ransomed me. Mine was the sin that bore the bitter nails and hung him on that judgment tree. I will glory in my Redeemer, who crushed the power of sin.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
We're now going to spend some time praying for our key workers, our children and young people, and people we know who are unwell at this time.
So let's begin with a confession, the words of which are taken from Psalm 51. So let's pray together. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And may the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for all our key workers who are working hard in many settings. For our frontline medical workers and carers, for teachers, supermarket workers, delivery people and volunteers. Please give them good health and resources they need to do their jobs well and safely.
We pray for those known to us who are sick, for the lonely or those struggling with their mental health. We pray particularly for Frankie and Steve and Linda. We pray her improvement would continue day by day. Please help us to cast all our cares onto you, being confident that you hear our prayers and you love us.
We pray for children and young people, some learning at school and many from home. Please help their parents and teachers guide their learning. Help us to motivate even as we miss being with friends.
Lastly, thank you for Jesus and the hope we have because of his death and resurrection. Thank you that we can look forward to the day when he will return and make everything new. We pray this hope will help us to look beyond our current challenges and to be prayerful for the many needs we see around us. Amen.
Amen.
And let us now close our time of prayer with the words that Jesus taught his followers. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Today we begin a new series for this term in the book of the Hebrews. Originally, we planned to go through the whole book Sunday by Sunday, but we've put that on hold for the time being. It is still very much our intention to do that once we're all back gathered together in our buildings. And when we do, as we work through the whole letter, we will see how the author wants to encourage the original hearers, along with us today, to keep going in following Jesus. To not fall into the trap of thinking that turning from Jesus will be better. Not to drift away, to fall away or give up on Jesus, even when it's tough, which it will be at times. But instead, we're encouraged to hold fast, to remain faithful, to endure. It is, after all, as the author says in the final chapter, a word of exhortation, an encouragement to endure and persevere, to keep running the race. And the primary way this takes place in the letter is that we will be reminded again and again and again and again just how brilliant Jesus is. How he's the greater word of God, the greater prophet, the greater temple, the greater sacrifice and priest and mediator. Jesus is greater, so hold fast to him. That's the message of the whole letter. But for the next few weeks, after Piers this morning introduces the letter to us in chapter 1, we're going to spend our time working through chapter 11. It's a chapter which presents us with many figures from throughout the Old Testament. Now, that doesn't mean it's a Bible overview. That course begins on Monday nights and would, in fact, complement this series very well. So do sign up for that if you haven't already. But Hebrews 11, it's not a lesson in how to squash the whole of the Old Testament into just 40 verses. But what it does do is show us again and again and again and again examples from throughout the Old Testament of people who were flawed, yes, and whose circumstances were often fragile, yes, and yet remained faithful. People who lived by faith. What that means is that in chapter 11, we have people who put into action, who continue to live out their faith in the God who is faithful and always keeps his promises, no matter what the circumstances they found themselves in. As one commentator puts it, this is not armchair faith in chapter 11, but battlefield faith. And so as we go through, we will see how they put their trust in God and his future promises, knowing that he would keep them. And how their faith directed their footsteps and helped them make their decisions. How it held their gaze and gave them a certain hope for the future, but also a right perspective on how to live in the present. So it's going to be quite an adventure in chapter 11. We'll come across some wonderful characters, but more than that, we'll be reminded of our even more wonderful God. And I pray that all of us will be encouraged to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Therefore, may I encourage you to take some time this week to read Hebrews before next Sunday. Certainly read chapter 11, that would be helpful. But why not read the whole book as well?
Hello, everybody.
Hi, everyone. The reading today is from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs.
Have you ever had that experience of driving on a motorway when you become sleepy? Maybe it's a cold day outside, you've got the heating on high, you're on a long journey, everyone else in the car has fallen asleep, and you suddenly become aware that you're not as alert as you should be, that you're beginning to drift, your eyelids are feeling droopy, and you're feeling sleepy. But imagine you're in the highway control centre, and through the motorway cameras, you can see this car beginning to drift either into another lane or maybe even drift right off the motorway altogether. And there are disastrous consequences if that were to happen. But you can't do anything. You can't get a word to them. The writer to the Hebrews sees a people who were drifting from Jesus. They were flagging in their faith. And he sees that that has disastrous consequences. More than that, it has eternally disastrous consequences. But he can and does get a word to them. That is what this letter is all about. And he starts by telling them, not by telling them off for drifting, but he wants to show them who Jesus is. Jesus in all his majesty. It's like a wake up and smell the coffee moment. It's like a wind the window down and get a blast of fresh air into your face and come to your senses and see who Jesus is. And he's going to pack a few punches in these verses. I can still remember, although it was decades ago, going to see The Crown Jewels. And as you entered into that darkened room, and there in the middle of the room was this diamond-encrusted crown rotating slowly round in its glass security cabinet. The lights that shone onto it, the light was being shattered in 1,000 pieces by the diamonds, beautifully, as it rotated round, these prisms of light, and it drew you towards it. You just wanted to see it more closely and examine its beauty. Well, that's what the writer does here, as he gives us, if you like, seven facets of Jesus, as he sort of walks round Jesus and tells us what he is like to help them realise just who it is. And he's going to tell us that Jesus is the heir of all things, that he is the creator of all things, that he's the radiator and revealer, that he is the sustainer, that he is the purifier, and he is the ruler of all things. He's going to give us a pencil sketch of each, and he starts by saying Jesus is the heir of all things. He starts with his destiny, the future, the goal of creation, when he will inherit all things, all peoples, all planets, all galaxies, everything will be his, the entire universe. There is nothing outside this inheritance. It says, God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. And from this future, he takes us back to the very beginning. It's fitting that Jesus is heir of all things, for he tells us that he created everything in the first place. Secondly, Jesus is the creator through whom he made the universe. He was there at the beginning. He brought the beginning into being, for he is the eternal creator. From the smallest atom with its astonishing complexity to the millions of galaxies, to us, made in his image, every single person who has ever lived bearing the image of God in his world. And then thirdly, Jesus is the radiator. The sun is the radiance of God's glory. Here the writer is moving from talking about Jesus relating to his Father. It's not that Jesus reflects the God's glory, like the moon reflects the light of the sun. No, Jesus is the radiance, just as the sun is the light. So powerful we cannot look at it. Its light radiates the whole world. It warms the whole world. And without it, we could not survive. And when we feel its warmth and we see its beauty, we just want to get outside and enjoy it and its glory. Well, all God's greatness and majesty radiates through Jesus. In him we see the glory of God. And then the diamond turns of Jesus. Jesus is the revealer, the exact representation of his being. Jesus truly and fully reveals God to us. As we see what he is like, so we see what God is like. The idea here is of a die in its image. There's that lovely moment in the Netflix series of The Queen when a new edition of the Royal Mail stamp bearing her profile is brought for her approval and needed revising because of her growing years. The stamp of her profile that you see is the exact representation of the die block from which it is printed. Jesus reveals God to us. He bears the stamp of God. We can never know God apart from Jesus. He shows us what God is like. And then Jesus is the sustainer. I'm sure you've seen this picture of Atlas holding up the world, passively supporting it with his massive frame. But Jesus is different. I mean, Atlas, for a start, is imaginary, but Jesus is alive, not passively supporting, but actively sustaining. That is moment by moment, the breath you've just taken, the heartbeat that you've just made. Jesus is sustaining all things by his powerful word. He's carrying forward God's purposes with his word. That same word of power that brought creation into being is the same word of power that sustains all things moment by moment. And then sixthly, Jesus is the purifier. He turns now from Jesus, his majestic cosmic deity, to his humanity, from who he is to what he's done. The God who left heaven and earth, heaven to come to earth, taking on flesh and blood to provide purification for sins. And not just our sins, big and bad as they are, but of the whole disjointed and broken universe. He made it all. And when sin spoiled everything, he himself came to put it right, and dying by dying on a cross. Now, why would he do this? What could possibly cause him to leave the glories of heaven? Well, a deep, deep love for those he created, for you and me. He longs to see us cleansed of our sins, forgiven and restored to God. For without this work of Jesus, we will be cut off and separated from God forever. And so we come to this last facet. Jesus is the ruler. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. What a contrast to the Old Testament priests who never sat down, always standing, always sacrificing. Because animal sacrifices were never sufficient or adequate. But Jesus does sit down, for his sacrifice is once for all. It is finished. Every sin dealt with, it is completed. And now he sits in the place of maximum glory and power. Jesus is supreme, exalted above all. There is no one like him. There is no other God beside him. When you meet him and hear him, you meet and hear the one true living God. Do you know this Son? Not the Jesus of our imagination, but this Jesus, the heir and creator, the radiator and revealer and sustainer, the purifier and ruler. The extraordinary claim of Christianity is that we can know this God personally, for he is the God who became man, who left his majestic home in heaven to come to earth for you and me, that we might be with him in heaven. He is there for you and me. And if we know him, are we drifting from him, or are we coming to know him better? What will motivate us to stop the drift and to come to know him better? Well, to do what the Hebrews is doing, to see who he is. You know, when you're young and you fall in love with someone, you can't stop thinking about them. You just want to spend as much time as you can with them so that you can get to know them better. You just can't get enough of them. And as they speak, you listen. Their words reveal to you who they are. What was unknown becomes known. What had happened to the Hebrews is they had stopped listening and learning from Jesus. They'd been distracted by other voices and they were drifting from him. There's many voices in our lives, particularly at this time of lockdown. Daily we listen to the grim statistics. We're listening out for when it might all be over. We're listening to what our friends are up to on Facebook or Zoom. We hear the writer calls them back to listen to God, to listen to his word, the one who has spoken through his Son in these last days. He wants them above all to listen to Jesus's authoritative word written for us here in our Bibles. For he is the key and meaning and purpose of life, of history and of the universe. More personally, through faith in Jesus, we know him as our saviour. He is our hope in life and death. I've always loved the HMV logo, you know, that dog sitting attentively, there's a picture of it, listening to the gramophone, listening to his master's voice. Are we people listening to our master's voice, the Lord Jesus Christ? His word is worth listening to above all others. The writer ends his letter by saying, bear with my word of exhortation. That is a word of encouragement, urging us to listen. Why not take a moment after we finish, if you're with others, to share a word of encouragement that you have got from today as you've seen who Jesus is, or maybe something that has happened this week that you've read in God's word that has spoken to you. But let me finish with a prayer from the end of Hebrews. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip us with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. We're going to sing of the King who is worthy.
Service. Well, I'm going to pray now with a collect, and then we will say the grace together. So let us pray. Almighty God, whose Son Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, raise us who trust in him from the death of sin to the life of righteousness, that we may seek those things which are above, where he reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And let us close by saying the grace together.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.
Amen.